lot more pleasant for me to look at those smiling faces. Isn't that right? Well, if you got your Bible, turn to John's Gospel, chapter 5. Talk about troubled waters or troubled hearts tonight. Troubled waters or troubled hearts. John, chapter 5. Hallelujah. Beginning in verse 1, it says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. And it says, now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. And it says, here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. And it says, at a certain time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters, and the first one into the pool after each disturbance would be cured of whatever diseases he had. There was a man there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Seems like an odd question to ask a sick person, doesn't it? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Amen. Now, we're familiar, of course, probably with this story. But I want to talk to you, as I said, my title tonight is Troubled Waters or Troubled Hearts. And just a little background. Here they are. Jesus comes upon this place called Bethesda. You know, it's interesting, this word Bethesda here means house of kindness. Isn't that good? And you know, the house of God ought to be a house of kindness, isn't it? It ought to be a place where people can come and be accepted and be loved, be ministered to and be touched. Isn't that true? You know? I'm so glad the hospital just up here is called Bethesda. Now you know what it's called. It's a house of kindness. Amen. And it's interesting, too, here that there were five porches here. And, you know, of course, the word five there stands in biblical numerology stands for what? Stands for grace, doesn't it? Can stand for atonement. Sometimes it can even stand for the fivefold ministry. In Ephesians 4, it says God had set some in the church. And we know the five ministry gifts. And I believe thoroughly that there ought to be the five ministry gifts operating in the body of Christ. Amen? The Bible teaches us that, well, it's not my lesson, but just a little background here. Without those five ministry gifts, if we are not brought under the anointing and the teaching and the ministry of those five ministry gifts, we cannot reach full maturity. It's the reason we endeavor to bring them in. We bring them in, the evangelist, the prophetic ministry. We bring them in here, the teaching ministry. We do that. Why? Because we want you to be built up in the things of God. So, you know, all that's interesting and everything, but isn't it interesting here where it says that there, in the King James, it says the impotent, the blind, and the lame, and the withered were waiting for the stirring of the waters. For the stirring of the waters. And I wonder, in the house of God, where are the healing waters? Where are the delivering waters of God? Now, I want to tell you, you know, Wednesday night, I assume, man, you know, we're all meat eaters here. You know what I mean, spiritually speaking. So on Wednesday nights, man, I lay it out there. Now, sometimes I don't even bother to cook it all that good. Okay? I have no idea. That's okay. Hallelujah. Anyway. So here's the thing, you know, it says that these people were here, the impotent, the lame, the blind, the halt, those that were limping, those that were hurting. I mean, you know, what we would call the rejected of society were here on these porches. And it says they were waiting for something. What were they waiting for? It says they were waiting for the stirring of the waters. The stirring of the waters here. And listen, I believe that still those same people that are hurting and broken, those people that need deliverance, that need healing, that need something to take place in their life, they are still waiting for the church, for the stirring of the waters of the church, in the church. They are waiting for that. You know, why do we not see them coming into the church? Can we just get right down to it? Are we able to handle it? Hey, we got light again. Thanks, guys. Here's the thing. Why are they not drawn in to the church? Why? It could be because what? The waters aren't stirred. There is no troubling of the waters in the church. Too often people come with their burden and leave with their burden. They come with their sin, they leave with their sin. They come bound up and they leave bound up. Amen? This is why part of the vision of grace is I want to be, and we're going to be, and we're on our way to becoming a supernatural church. None of this just trying to make people feel better. I'll tell you what, they get forgiven, they'll feel better. They get set free, they'll feel better. Amen. They get healed, they'll feel better. Amen. Amen. But it says here he was waiting for the troubling of the waters here. It says that an angel, and that word angel means a messenger. And I believe that God, you know, of course here it was a literal angel, but you know what? Every one of us are called to be messengers. Listen, when the church has the message of the gospel, when there is the troubling of the waters, the anointing, the moving of the Spirit of God, the supernatural moving in the church, then I want to tell you what, the lame and the blind and the bound and the broken, I'm telling you, they're going to beat a path there. They're going to come in by the hundreds and by the thousands. Come on. I'm going to tell you. You say, Pastor, what's your church growth plan? You're listening to it right now. Amen. I told you when I came here 3 years ago, I said, we're not going to be a program church. We're not going to entertain. We're not going to have a bunch of programs for, you know, to try to make, you know, try to salve everybody for everything in the world. I mean, you know, if that's what God's called some churches to, then hallelujah, God bless them and let them run for it. But that's not what God's called us to do. But here's the thing. Pardon me. Neither do I want to just sit and just kind of tread water. We've got to make up our mind that we're what kind of church we want to be a part of, what kind of church we want to be, because it's going to require something of us. Are you listening? Listen, you don't become a supernatural church just by going through the motions and being church as usual. It's going to require something of us. And isn't it interesting? Why do you think? Now, how many of you know? And I'll tell you this: you probably know anyway, because you guys are very smart, intelligent people. That's a good time to say it. Some of y'all got that quick. But you know, one of the things when Jesus came on the scene, how many of you know that basically, in many ways, Israel was backslid? As we would say it in our vernacular. And because they were backslid, the priesthood was backslid and corrupt. And one of the reasons why these people were here at this porch of Bethesda, this is not, you can't read anywhere where God said, go there for healing. They were to go to the temple. They were to go to the priest to get healing. Did you know healing's not just a New Testament thing? I don't have time to get into it, but if you already know, if you don't, let me encourage you, study. If you look at under the Old Covenant, God provided healing for them. One of the first revelations God gave to Israel, Exodus 15:26, I'm the Lord God that healeth thee. And he gave them parameters. He said, if you need healing, you go present yourself to the priest. You offer this offering and the priest will pray for you and you'll be healed. One of the injunctions God brought against them under the Old Testament, he said that judgment was brought against them because he said, you don't heal the people. Hello? And I'm telling you what, God could bring that juncture against a lot of New Testament churches nowadays. Because here's the thing, we're not called to make people feel better. We're called to bring healing and deliverance to them. Amen. And so isn't it interesting, these people were here at a place this place, Bethesda, House of Kindness. I wonder why they were there. Could it be that they couldn't find any kindness and any healing in the temple? Must have been. Why do you think people followed Jesus by the thousands? Because what? He was doing what God had called Israel to do. He was doing what they called the priesthood to do. But the priesthood, they couldn't get it at the temple. So you know what these people said? Bless God, if God's healing at the porch, I'm going to the porch. If God's healing through this itinerant preacher out of Nazareth, bless God, I don't care whether he went to rabbinical school or where he went or didn't go. Bless God, I'm going to go where I can get it. So here they are. They're here at this place, Bethesda. And isn't it interesting? This thing at Bethesda here, it says at a certain time of the year, the angel came down and stirred the waters. You know what this represents? A sovereign work of God. And isn't it interesting? Why did God do it this way? God had to do a sovereign work because the priests weren't doing their job. Hello? Whenever we see God doing a... Why does God... Many times the reason God has to do a sovereign work is because what? The people of God, the church of God, is not doing what it's been called to do. You know you've been called to heal the sick. You've been called to set the captive free. That's not just the pastor that you hired to do all that for you. You may think that, but you're going to have a rude awakening when you stand before the Lord. You know, because you're going to say, well, we prayed Pastor Norris to do that. He said, no, you didn't. No, listen, every one of us, aren't we a royal priesthood? A holy nation? Isn't that right? So what is the priesthood supposed to do? There should be what? Healing in the church. There should be deliverance in the church. There should be the supernatural troubling, as it were, of the waters of the Spirit in the church. And that will draw people. Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, I'm going to draw men. So guess what? If men aren't being drawn to our church, guess what the trouble is? It ain't God. Let's stop blaming God. Let's stop fussing at God about it. We need to look at ourselves, don't we? And so here it is. It says they were waiting. Listen, the world is just waiting for the church, you and I, to rise up in all that God has called us to do. To rise up and be the priesthood that God called us to do. To rise up and be the carriers of God's salvation, of God's deliverance, of God's healing power. Mm-hmm. To be a demonstration. Yes, we want the message, but we also want the demonstration. Amen? Mm-hmm. And it says here, they were waiting. And the problem was, you know, in this sovereign work of God, only one person at a time was getting healed. Isn't that what this guy said? He said, I'm crippled, so, you know, naturally he was at a disadvantage, wasn't he? Come on. I mean, you can go to some churches, they hadn't got anybody healed in 10 years. Sure is quiet in this full gospel, Pentecostal, charismatic, hoopla church. I thought this was our message. Aren't we supposed to have a corner on healing? Yeah. On the Holy Ghost? Not too excited out there. Here's the thing. What we need to do is we have to do a checkup. You know, I say this all the time. You know, I think it was Thomas Edison that said it. He said, if you keep doing the same thing and expect different results, he said, that's a sign of insanity. I'm not so sure where we're at in the church. Because we keep doing the same old thing, the same old thing, the same old thing. You hear some wild-eyed fanatic like me talking about healing, we all bob our head, but we all do the same old thing. Oh, Lord. He says, an angel, a minister at a certain season went down, and he troubled and agitated the waters. Now, I want you to notice something here. Jesus came to him and asked this guy what seemed to be a wild question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Why would Jesus ask a question like that? Do you want to be healed? And the guy, what did the guy say? He said, well, Lord. He said, yeah, you know, obviously he wouldn't have been there if he didn't want to be healed. Seems like to me. So what really, what was Jesus saying to this man, you know? He's saying, listen, you really want to be healed? Then I want to tell you something. I'm here to do it. I'm here to do it. This man was dependent on the sovereign move of God. You know how many people are just, they're just hoping that somehow God will move in their lives, hoping somehow something will work out in their family, their marriage. Somehow something will work out. They're desperate. They're just like this guy. They'll go and hang out somewhere. I mean, you know, they hear, you know, stand on your head and you might get it. They'll stand on it. I mean, you know, they're doing whatever they want to do. But the problem is, unless we hook up with what God is doing, unless we hook up with the power of God, unless we hook up with the moving of God, there's not going to be any salvation. There's not going to be any deliverance. And there's not going to be any healing. Notice what this man said. Very opening. He said, I have no man. Wonder how many people, if they were really honest out there, what we call the sinners, the unsaved, or the sick, or the bound, the lame, the halt, all those people that are looked at as the dregs of society. I wonder how many people of them, if we went up and asked them, do you want a better life? Wonder what you think. What do you think they say? Oh no, we want to stay this way. I like being in pain. I like being sick. I like being bound. I like being homeless. I like, you know, having strife in my home. I like all this. Oh, it's just great. No, they're going to be just like this man. You know what they're going to really say? In their heart, they do want it. But you know what they say? Just like this man, I have nobody. I have no one. You know, and when you say, well, just look to Jesus. Well, you know, they need a Jesus with some flesh on them. And that's where you and I come in. Absolutely. And if we don't take it to them, who is? Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? You know, they're desperate. People will go. People are looking to, you know, they're looking to these psychics. They're looking to the spiritualists. They're looking to witches. They're looking everywhere. Listen. It's real easy for us in the church to get all self-righteous and point the finger and everything. But I want to tell you what. Listen, that may be their Bethesda to them. Because what? They went to the church and there wasn't any there. Because if it had been in the church, they wouldn't have gone anywhere else. And just like this man, many of them would say the same thing. I have no man. I haven't run into a Christian that could set me free. I haven't run into a Christian that could get me healed. I haven't run into a Christian. Awful quiet in this Pentecostal church. I'm trying to help you. Isn't that right? I'm trying to help. See, wherever, this was the thing about Jesus. Wherever he went, he became what? The man. Just like this man. Wherever he went, people were looking for the man. The man. And isn't it interesting too, just a little sidebar here, that the people who got the most upset, who got the maddest at Jesus, plotted finally to kill him, were the very people that should have been thrilled about what he was doing. The religious leaders. The people that were supposed to be doing this themselves. The people that were supposed to be healing. The people that were supposed to be setting them free. The people that were supposed to be representing God to the people in power. But because of their backslidden condition, Jesus was showing them all up. And what they did, instead of repenting, you know, wouldn't it have been something if some of them had just repented and come to Jesus and said, you know what, man, we've missed it. God's called me. I'm of the house of Aaron. I'm in the Levitical priesthood. I'm supposed to be doing this. I don't know how to do it. Will you show me? He would have shown them. I said he would have shown them. But instead, what? Their spiritual pride. Oh, he's doing that by the devil. There's some trickery. There's something going on here. That's not real. And see, there needs to be a hunger that rises up in us. So here's the thing. The angel came down at a certain season. It says he troubled or agitated the waters. Now here's the thing. In the church, we need to have the waters agitated. Too many of us are comfortable. We're comfortable. And then we don't keep the water stirred up in our lives. We don't keep a fresh touch of God upon us. And then the hour of emergency comes. The hour of calamity comes. And how many of you know the crisis of life comes to everybody? Anybody in here never had a crisis in life? Never had a problem at all, have you? But then what happens? At that point in time, what we don't have what's needed. Because it said only when he got in the waters when they were troubled did they have any healing virtue. You know what? There are a lot of spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christians that go to church on a regular basis that love God. But you know what? God is nothing but a Holy Ghost hitchhiker in their life. Yeah, he's living in them. But when's the last time God did anything? When's the last time the Holy Spirit was agitated? When was the last time there was healing that flowed out of you? When is the last time the power of God that we boast about and brag about and amen about and shout about and sing about and dance about and everything else about? When's the last time that flowed out of you to set somebody free? Ooh, Pastor, you've been tough. I'm trying to help you out. Because I want to stir something on the inside of you up. You know, I'm either going to make you mad or glad, but one way or the other, something's going to happen. But you got to get off dead center. Yeah. We got to get off dead center. Let's stop kidding ourselves, church. We can't just do church as usual and expect this church to grow, to expect to reach this city, to expect to have the vision that God's given us to come to pass. You know, the pastor's not going to be in his study waving that, you know, that mystical charismatic wand God gave me. And make it come to pass. It's going to take us stirring something. Listen, something's got to be stirred in you. You got to stir the waters. Didn't Jesus say that the Holy Ghost in you is going to be like a well, like rivers? Listen, we need to stir that thing up. Paul wrote Timothy, he said, stir it up. Well, if he needed to stir it up, that implies what? That he'd become placid, didn't it? How many know God won't move except occasionally in a sovereign way here and there, but God, for the most part, is not going to move in your life until you start doing something. That's right. So until you start stirring yourself up. That's right. Where's your prayer life? Where's your time in the Word? Where's your time listening to God? Where's your time out there when God begins to speak to you about speaking to somebody, laying hands on the sick? I'm liable to be persecuted. Oh, bless your heart. We wouldn't want that to happen. We wouldn't want that to happen. You know, in the Acts, you know, and you read about it in church history. I mean, they were thrilled when they were persecuted. I mean, that was one of the greatest honors they could have, is to think that they were worthy of being persecuted. I mean, you know, I'm making the devil mad enough. I'm making enough of havoc in hell to be noticed. You know, most Christians, they're frightened of the thought that the enemy might notice them. Just don't make any waves. Remind me of a story. I remember Dad Hagin, he's talking about, he's preaching out in California. This is back in the 50s. And he said at that time, he said the swine flu was going through. And y'all old enough to remember when the swine flu came through? He's talking about it, you know, and he was, in those days, he'd have kind of like evangelistic type services at night. And in the morning times, he'd have kind of teaching sessions. And so, you know, he said, you know, see, here it came. It hit Los Angeles. And here it was, you know, his meetings, they just started dwindling, you know, because everybody had the swine flu, you know. And, you know, he said, bless his heart, he was there, you know, with the full gospel pastor, you know, tongue-talking pastor. And here this pastor, bless his heart, you know, he starts talking all this unbelief. You know, well, what's going to happen? You know, they're talking, just sitting, you know, standing around talking. And they were talking about, you know, the subject got on the swine flu. And he just said, well, it looks like everybody, we're probably going to have to cancel the meeting because it looks like everybody is going to get it. And Brother Hagin said, he just spoke up. He said, no, not everybody. He said, I'm not going to get it. Amen. And he said, full gospel pastor, tongue talking, came over to him and said, whispered. He said, don't you know the devil's going to hear you say that? And Brother Hagin said, that's just the dude I want to hear. Amen. But here's the thing. We get like that. Oh, we don't want to be seen. We don't want to be, oh, we don't make any way. Listen. then why are you here? Why don't you just go and be with the Lord? Why live another 30 years and pay for a mortgage? What's that got to do with eternity? Let's just go on. I mean, Paul said it's far better. Did he lie about it? He said it's far better to depart and be with Christ than it must be. So here's the thing. If we're not going to fulfill our purpose, if we're not going to walk in obedience to that purpose, then what good are we doing? Huh? You think God's impressed because you're going to pay for 10 new cars in your lifetime? Nothing wrong with a new car, but isn't it above that? Aren't we as believers? Aren't we living for the kingdom purposes? Aren't we? We're not living for the temporal things, how many houses or how big it is, all the stuff the world's living for. Are we living for that?
No.
If we are, I sure missed a boat somewhere. He says, I have no man. And it's, so we got to stir up. Let me ask you something. When does God desire people to be saved? When? Somebody said it. Well, when does he desire people to be forgiven? Healed? Restored? Delivered? Then why do we keep making people put it off? Because if they come and leave without it, they just put it off. You know what we've told them? One or two things. Either God's not ready, God's not willing, anything. But you know, we're very good. You know, there's one particular cable program on, and they talk about a no-spin zone. I'm going to tell you what, we need to get one of those going in the church, because we spin it like crazy. We'll come up with every kind of theological excuse as to why it's not time yet, this is not right yet, God's not ready yet, everything but us. Yeah, we push it all off on God or the person seeking. Well, you just didn't have enough faith. Well, it just wasn't the time of God. I mean, we can spin it, man. We can spin it. But didn't Jesus say today is a day of salvation? You know what the word salvation, there's sozo. That word sozo means forgiveness, healing, deliverance, provision. Just go right on down the line. So many times, as I said, God moves sovereignly at times because no one what is seeking him and nobody has stirred themselves up. In other words, everybody's looking for troubled water, but nobody wants to trouble their hearts. Oh, preacher, preach us a nice message. Preach us about how God's going to help us and bless us and deliver us. Preach about how God's going to do all these good things. Preach us a Santa Claus Christ, you know, this is what we want to hear. But here's the thing. There needs to be a message from time to time about where are the people of God who are stirring their hearts. You know, we hear about the water trouble somewhere, and everybody, you can, it's just like lemmings to the sea. You can count on it, man. I mean, God starts a sovereign move somewhere. I mean, bless God, you know, everybody's going to run over there. And then another one starts here, and everybody runs over there. But where are the people that are willing to stir their hearts? Where are the people that are willing to get alone with God and grab hold of God and say, God, you know, it's great. I'm grateful for what you're doing over here, over there. But God, I got to have it here. We got to have it here. Our community's got to have it here. The people in Boynton got to have it here. We got to have it here, God. We got to have it here. I'm not content to just hear about it in Africa. I'm not just content to hear about it in Lakeland or wherever it may, or Toronto. Thank God for all that. But listen, I want it here.
Yeah. Amen.
So are we looking for troubled waters? Or are we willing to trouble our hearts? Turn to Daniel's book of Daniel, chapter 9. Here's the thing I would ask. Why is no one troubled for the lack of it in the house of God? Why are we content to go week after week, month after month, without the waters troubled, without the healing, delivering, saving power of God flowing through us, individually and corporately? How can we go week after week, month after month, and just go through our little services, go through our little thing, do our little thing, say, okay, we put in our time and we go home? Excuse me, but if I had a barf bag, I'd do it. Who wants to do that? Is that what you want? Can I get a witness? Is that what you want? Let me know now, because I don't want to, you know, because we're going to rub each other the wrong way. Because I'm going to be going one way, and you're going to be wanting to go the other. And you ain't going to be happy with me that way. Amen. So I'm talking about troubled waters or troubled hearts. Why is it that it does not bother us? Why is it does not move us? Why have we got to be pleaded with and begged to do what God's called us to do? In Daniel chapter 9, I told you, meat on Wednesday nights. Meat belongs to those who are full age. Amen? So I'm believing that you're all of full age. Daniel 9, one of the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of God given to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. Now I want to stop there a minute. How many of us have done the same thing Daniel did? We know what the word says. I found out what it said. I have understanding. I've read the scriptures. Jesus came to save, to heal, to deliver. Jesus came. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Greater is he that's in us and he that's in the world. I'm anointed and appointed and called. We know all the scriptures just like Daniel did. And we found the scriptures. But the problem is, we're going to see in just a minute, Daniel did something after he had understanding. And I think that is the problem in the church. We've gone to conferences, we've gone to seminars, we can go on the internet, we've got books, we've got tapes, bless God, you know. I mean, all of us, you know, we dip Copenhagen or something. You know what I'm talking about? Copenhagen. I didn't say Copenhagen, I said Copenhagen. Some of y'all thinking the pastor's dipping snuff. But we got all that. But listen, why is it then we don't see the power? Why is it we don't see the demonstration? We have understanding. We know what the word says. We can quote it. If I talk about healing, you can quote the healing scriptures. I talk about deliverance, you can talk about deliverance. I talk about the anointing, you can talk about the anointing scriptures. And that's good. But here's the thing. It must take something in addition with understanding. Now notice what Daniel did. He said, when he got this understanding about the will of God, he said, so I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, in sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed to my God and confessed. Methinks this might be where we're missing it. He said as soon as he got understanding from the word about God's will, it drove him somewhere. He said, okay, I have understanding. This is what God's will is. This is what God has said that he desires to do. And you know, if he'd have been like most full gospel churches today, he'd have just sat back, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God, just do it. I'm a man of faith and power. Sometimes it's paste and flour, isn't it? And you know, we sit back and we, oh, I'm just, man, I'm standing on the word. I'm claiming the word. But here's the thing. It says, what did it do? He said, Daniel said, he says, when I saw that, when I had understanding, something took place in me and I had to go before God because I said, he understood it was going to take something to bring to pass the word and the understanding of the will of God that he had. Here in the American church as a whole, we have gotten way, way, way out of shape spiritually. Oh, we'll go to a convention. We'll spend thousands of dollars to go to a convention. We'll go somewhere and let somebody preach to us and everything. But I'm going to tell you what, how many times can we get people, when you call a prayer and a fast, see how many people show up? Oh, if we have a financial seminar, everybody will be here. If we have a healing service, everybody will be here. But when we call for prayer and fasting, that the waters might be troubled in the church, that people might be drawn to Jesus, that people might be saved, healed, and delivered, you can't get them to come. Because that ain't about me. Man, that's going to hurt. I'm going to have to do without a meal. I'm going to have to pray for an hour? Oh, we think, you know, in the American church, we think somebody's super spiritual if they pray for an hour. Lord of mercy. Come on. Well, it's awful quiet in here. You say, I didn't come for this. Yes, you did. This is exactly what you come for. It's what you need. You need somebody to stir you up. You know, and here's the thing. I'm preaching to me too. I'm not telling you anything that I'm doing it and I'm going to do it more. And you may be doing it, but you need to do it more. Amen. We got to get serious about this thing. I don't want to be, you know, lukewarm. And I'm going to do my best not to let you be. How am I doing so far? Now notice he said, I prayed to the Lord, my God, and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong, O Lord. Notice he said, we. You know, in the church, you know what? If you read on, you'll find out that God saw Daniel as a righteous man. You read in one of the prophets, it talked about one of the judgments that was being brought on Israel. And God said, if Daniel, Job, who was the third one? Anybody remember? Daniel, Job, and I believe Abraham. He said, if these three men were alive in this judgment that was being brought on the nation of Israel, he said, their righteousness would save them, but it wouldn't be enough to save anybody else. But Daniel was mentioning that as a righteous man. So what's he doing? This, we have sinned and we have done wrong. And this man prayed three times a day. He's got a lot of spirit-filled Christians beat. You know, even a Muslim prays five times a day. Woo. Come on. Awful quiet in here. But it says, what? He said, we have. He said, I confess. Why? He identified. That's what an intercessor. That's what somebody who wants to see the will of God done. They're willing to be just like Jesus did. Was Jesus a righteous man? You sure about that?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. Y'all didn't sound too sure. What did he do when he went to Calvary? It was the ultimate identification with the lost, the sinner. Isn't that right? He was righteous. Yet what? He was willing to go to Calvary on behalf and identify with us sinners. This is the same thing Daniel was doing. He was a righteous man in the sight of God. And yet in the same way, he said, I'm going to identify with the people of Israel. I'm going to identify with their sin. I'm going to identify with their being backslidden and away from God. And I'm going to come as an intercessor. You know, too often, we're like the Pharisee. Remember Jesus talked about the two men praying? You remember he said the Pharisee came in. He said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like others. You know, I tithe of everything. I fast, you know, so many times a week. I pray, I do this. I'm blah, 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 blah. You know, so oftentimes, isn't that sometimes the way we go in prayer to God? And yet he said, you know, the other guy came up and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all he said. God said the other man was the man that was justified. But here's the thing. If we're living righteously, you know what we need to do? We need to get in there just like Daniel did and say, God, the church is away from you. The church, we've removed ourselves so far from your calling. Where is God? We've removed ourselves from the salvation. Where is the salvation in the house of God? Where is the healing power? Where is the power of Jesus to set people free? Where is the attracting power of the Spirit to draw men to Jesus? God, it's not here. It's not in the church. It's not where it needs to be. And I am coming and I am identifying with your people and saying, God, we have sinned. We have missed it in the church. And God, visit us again. But we're too busy for that. Because that's not easy. It's not easy. You know, it's easy to put some money in the plate. It's easy to come to church for an hour and a half. But I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about here, this is not easy. But it's necessary. Are we going to be looking for troubled waters, or are we going to trouble our hearts? Are we going to be like Daniel? Said, God, when I look and see what your will is concerning the church, and I look at the landscape of the church and I see where we are, there is a mighty gap. And I can't just sit there and go, well, throw my hands up and say, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. I want to tell you what you can do. You can do just what Daniel did. You can let your heart go out to God. You can identify with the people of God, not condemn, not judge, but identify with them in prayer and begin to cry out to God. Notice what he says here. He says, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and rebelled. We've turned away from your commands and laws. We've not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name. Lord, you are righteous. But this day we are covered with shame. Oh, I know this is not what the church, especially here in America, this is not popular. You know, if I tell you how God wants to bless you, you know, give you a nice little sermonette, might make you feel good, but it's not going to change your life. It's not going to change the church, and it's certainly not going to change our nation. Says, the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, all Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. Whew. Strong, isn't it? The Lord, now notice, he's going to get to the good part here, but listen. First of all, we've got to be brutally and completely honest before God. We're not going to get anywhere. We can pretend that everything's all right. We can confess that everything's all right. You know? But here's the thing. What is the criteria? Are the waters in the church troubled? Troubled for the lame. Troubled for the blind. Troubled for those that need deliverance. Is it troubled? Or is it just a pool? You remember, if whoever stepped in and it was just a pool, you know what it was? It was just water. That's all it was. Nothing happened. Nothing supernatural. No deliverance, no healing. But when the waters were troubled and people stepped in, something supernatural happened. And I want us here at Grace, and all the body of Christ, we pray for this, but I want us here at Grace, I want us to be a church of troubled waters. And listen, church, we're not there yet. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just trying to be honest. I'm your pastor. Now, I believe that God is stirring us, some of us, and we're on our way there. But listen, God's got to grip our hearts here. And you know, the Wednesday night crowd, I mean, you're usually the foot soldiers. You're the ones that's, bless God, you've got the greatest degree of hunger. Now, I understand some people may be out at home and so forth. You understand what I mean. But there's a greater degree of hunger among us here on Wednesday night than there are at other times. You know, if you look at the ministry of Jesus, Jesus had huge crowds that followed him. The vast majority of those crowds were needy people looking to have a need met. Okay? On Sunday mornings, most of the people that come are in that category. They are needy people looking, somehow hoping there's some waters troubled at Grace. I'm hoping, against hope, that this time when I come to a church, that there will be something that will be real and will be alive and can meet my need. Amen. They're tired of going to church. Dear God, I am too. You say, oh, well, Pastor, that's an awful thing for a pastor to say. Well, I told you, I'm not religious. But here's the thing. You know, there's something stirring. There's a cry that's going out. There's a stirring up of the waters here at Grace. When they come in, the loaves and fishes crowd will come. They're looking for the loaves and fishes. They're looking for a need to be met. God's power will be there to meet something. And not just, you know, whoever's on the pulpit. I'm talking about in the house. In you, through me, through us. Something's here. The power of God's here. And when they come, they are changed. They are different. I want to be different. How about you? Bless God, if you're the same next week as you are this week, bless God, you've been standing still. You say, Pastor, this is strong. Bless God, we need it. Amen? I'm not going to give you some watered down Geritol. Give you full strength. Notice what he says, though. Notice when he gets on down there, after that, after he's been honest, he's crying out. He said, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we've rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord or kept his laws that he gave us through the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away. Therefore, and he goes on and talks about it. But he begins to pray, verse 17, for the sake of time, skip down. He said, now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. And for your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. What a prayer. And I'm going to tell you what, if you read over here, it says that he fasted and prayed this way for 21 days. 21. 2 with a 1. 3 weeks. 3/4 of a month. Listen. If we want to see what they saw, we must do what they did. Amen. We can't play church and see miracles. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. We're kidding ourselves. I mean, let's just be real. If we say, okay, we're going to be a church that we just have nice meetings and we all see one another and you know, and we have some nice little fellowship. Nothing wrong with any of that. But if that's all we're going to do, I'm the wrong man. I'm in the wrong place because that's not what I want. But here's the thing. If you're that way too, it's going to cost us. I mean, I'm going to be real with you. It's going to cost you something. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, what did he say? He said, you just hang out at the Hilton by the sauna and drink lemonade. No, what did he say? It said something in there about a cross or something, wasn't there? You know, every time a cross is mentioned, you know, in a redemptive way, it's all about what? Somebody else. Jesus went to the cross not for himself, did he? He went to it what? For somebody else. When you and I take up our cross, when we get hungry, when we cry out to God, when it cost us something personally, it cost our time, it cost our appetites, it cost everything. And you know what we're doing? We are taking up our cross. Not for ourselves, but for somebody else. Amen. For the drug addict that's going to stagger in here one morning. Bam! The power of God hits him. I know this is kind of sober, but I can't help it. I got to preach what God's put on my heart. You know, this is not a Sunday type message, but this is the troops tonight. This is the shock troops. This is the spiritual Marines. This is the special ops. You see, I didn't know I was all that way. You are now. But here's the thing, Grace. Listen. Remember when the prophet, when he went up on Mount Carmel and all the prophets of Baal, remember that? And the prophet got out there and he said to Israel, he said, how long will you halt between two opinions? If Baal be God, serve him. But if the Lord God be God, then serve him. So here's the thing, Grace. If we're going to be a New Testament church, if we're going to see the power of God, if we're going to reach our generation, then let's get on with it. If not, let's make that decision too. But let's make a decision. As for me and my house, we're going for it. I'm going for it. As we say, lock, stock, and barrel. I'm going for it with a whole heart. I'm going for it. Amen? Next week, you know, I announced it. Next week, we're going to have 3 days of prayer and fasting. 3 days. Man, listen. Daniel went 21. I'm not asking you to go 21. I'm not even asking you to go 7. Just 3 days of prayer and fasting. And here's what we're going to do. Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, we're going to meet here and we're going to be praying. You say, oh, it's inconvenient. I know it. Oh, that's hard to do. I know it. Oh, you don't know what all's on my plate. I know it. Take up your cross, the inconvenience, the difficulty, and put your flesh on that cross. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, Pastor. Listen, it'll be good for your flesh. Let your spirit rise up in God.
Yeah.
Put that flesh down.
Yeah.
That thing can eat on Thursday.
Yes.
Just tell it, Thursday's coming. Shut up.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? That's what you have to do sometimes, don't you?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Troubled waters are troubled hearts. Are we just going to sit around and hope that somehow, in the sovereignty of God, God somehow moves out here? Well, think about all the people that are not going to get their needs met that way. Thank God for the ones that do. But you know what? How many are going to perish because we sit back thinking that we'll just take our ease because we're blessed and we got our part. Glory to God. I'm healed. I'm saved. I'm blessed. Bless God. I got mine. Let them get theirs. Well, boy, that's a Christ-like attitude, isn't it? But here's the thing, we got to make a decision. You know, this group of people in here make a decision. Listen, the church is going to go that way.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
I won't take but just this many. Because of the influence. Man, here we go. Here we go. We ain't got to wait, you know, for some super duper anointed person to come in and do this. We can stir ourselves up.
Amen.
Daniel was in captivity. Everything he knew had been stripped from him. He'd been hauled off to this foreign land. He had no rights. He went where they said he could go. All of that. Listen, but yet he did not prevent him. So our circumstance does not prevent us. It's just this old thing we call the flesh, isn't it?
Amen.
And we all got it.
Yeah.
I got it too. Sometimes I feel like that humorous story, you know, where they, you know, the wife went in and woke up the husband and said, you need to get up. We got to get to church. Oh, I don't want to go to church today. Well, you know, and a few minutes later she came back. You need to get up, get dressed. Start getting dressed. We got to go. I don't want to go to church today. I'm tired. I don't want to go. Why have I got to go? Because you're the pastor. Man, I mean, we all got feelings. You think my feelings always, oh, yes, praise God, we're going to church today. You know, oh, yeah, hallelujah. I mean, you know. I got flesh just like yours. You know? I told somebody jokingly one time, I said, you know, I thought about trying this sometime, just not showing up one Sunday. Everybody come through and go through the worship. Everybody started looking around, wondering. They'd know how I felt. What I'm saying is we all got flesh, don't we? We have to learn to put that stupid stuff down. And prayer and fasting. Crying out to God. So here's the thing. What's it going to be? Are we going to wait for some, you know, troubled waters? Or are we going to start troubling our hearts? Are we going to start crying out to God? Are we going to humble ourselves and say, God, I'm not going to let you go until we have it. I'm not I'm not just crying out for me, God. I'm crying out for all those you've called this church to reach.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but if I've got to do all the things God called us to do in my power, my strength, and my wisdom, I quit. You can have it. Jackie, because I can't do it. Yet, it's got to get done. So how are we going to do it? How would you get somebody smarter? Well, that would be easy to do. But I'm going to tell you what. That alone ain't going to get it done. It's going to take the power of God. Not just in one or two, but in us, in a group. You know, when David was exiled, it says he was in the stronghold. And it said there went out to him, you know, people who were attracted to David and went out to that stronghold. And it said they were people who were in debt, who were disgruntled, who were dissatisfied. I mean, boy, what a congregation he had. But you know, those same people, something happened somewhere in there. Because you read on longer, those same people became the mighty men of God. That's what God wants. Mighty men and women of God. So I want to encourage you. Not just next week, but this is a good time to kick it off. Listen, let's trouble our hearts. Let's cry out to God. Let's cry out to God. Listen, none of us are getting any younger. I don't care how young you are. You're going to be older tomorrow. Isn't that right? I mean, it seemed like just yesterday we was all 20. Look where we are now. I'm 22 at least, aren't we? We cry out to God, though. Listen, I can stir my heart. You got to stir yours. You know, I'm trying to prime it, but you got to stir yours. But if we do it together, listen, you say, yeah, but, you know, who are we? We're just regular people. Listen, that's the kind of people God uses. Regular people who stir up an uncommon passion. And desire. Say, God, we're going to see you move. Listen, I'm tired. I won't go another year just doing the same old thing.
Amen.
Is that the way you feel?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're content to do the same old thing, man, I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I see. Let's go for it. What do you say?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Let's go for it.
Amen.
Let's go for it. Go for it, brother. Amen. Don't be half-baked. Don't be up and down and in and out and a sometime Christian. You know? Man, we want to see God move and, you know, we can't get them to come four Sundays in a row. Lordy. We're kidding ourselves. What if you joined the army? You went to boot camp and you said, you know what, Sarge, I just really don't feel like getting up today. You'd understand real quick why they call it boot camp. Because you'd be receiving a boot. Isn't that right? And you know what? We wouldn't think a thing about that, would we? We'd say, well, listen, bud, you signed up. Hello? Somebody hold a gun on you to get saved? Of your own free will? So you signed up. You're in. You're not in when you feel like it. You're in all the time. Woo. Well, about all we can handle. I have plenty more to give, but we'll save that for another time. Amen. Listen, guys, you know, I believe in the blessing. I believe in that. But listen, there's something more than that. There's something more than that. We want to, you know, I want to see this place filled up. Not for my ego. But there are people, listen, there are enough sinners out there, we can fill this thing up at least 10 times. And still not make a dent. But here's the thing. It's not going to happen because, you know, we get our worship better and somebody across town's got their worship. It's not going to happen because we got better programs in such church across town. Listen, their church here, if that's what you're looking for, they got it down. And I'm not being critical of anybody. But that's not what God's not called us to be in competition to do what we do better than what they do. You know? There are people that can teach and preach a lot better than me in all kinds of churches around here. But here's the thing. We're not in competition. We want to respond. What has God said to grace? What has He said to us? And I believe He's called us to be a supernatural people. Because some people will not get their needs met with a program. They need power. The power of God. The power of God. Well, I'm sorry, I got to shut up. I'm sorry, my clock is wound. Hallelujah. Talk to God about it. You say, you don't like it? I like the past life. Talk to God about it. See, the one got me this way. Amen. I tell you what, you spend about 8 hours with God talking to Him about the way I am, and then come back and talk to me. You may be tampered with too. Amen. Even more than you already are. All right. Well, we're going to give you opportunity to give. Guys, come on up, and if you need an envelope or whatever. I know this is not a giving message, but praise God. Give anyway. Say, I don't feel like it. Give anyway. Give anyway. Yeah, but it's not convenient. Give anyway. Calvary wasn't too convenient. Listen, you know, all the time, you preparing your offering there, all the time, you know, I've had people ask me, well, why is it we hear about all these miracles? You know, in these other countries, or, you know, or occasionally here or there in small areas here in the States, but mainly over there. Why do we hear about it? I want to tell you what. You find where God's moving, and I guarantee you this, you're going to find some people somewhere who are doing what we talked about tonight. It didn't just fall on them like a ripe apple off a tree where they just got, wow, how about that? No, I tell you what, some people stirred. Troubled their hearts. They cried out to God with fasting, with weeping, with intercession, with prayer. Somebody says, but Pastor, how long do we do it? Bless God until you get it. You're going here to Miami. When do you stop driving? Fort Lauderdale? When you get there. You say, how we know it? You'll know it. Woo! You ready with your giving, those of you who are giving? Let's pray. Father, thank You for the ability to give back to You. I thank You, Lord, as the people give. They are blessed. They are investing in the kingdom. They do it because they love You. But Father, I pray that there will be a stirring of this message in our heart. God, may it reach the very depths of our being. There be a stirring in us. A crying out. A seeking hard after You, O God, to see the glory of God, the power of God in the people and the house of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, guys, come on and receive. Hallelujah. I want people to be driving by out there while we're praying or having a meeting. And I mean, man, the wheel just... And they say, I don't know why I'm here. God will get on them. I said, God will get on them. Man, those people you've been witnessing to for 11 years. That's an indeterminate number, in case you were wondering. Man, they come in and the power of God. I mean, this time when you pray for them, this time when you talk to them, oh, boy, it wasn't like all those other times. Oh, there's something on you. There's something coming out of you. Oh, glory to God. It's what we need. It's what you look in the book of Acts. Y'all can stand up on your feet. I just can't seem to find a stopping place here. I just have to unhook them. You look in the book of Acts. Why did they turn the world upside down? Oh, it must have been because they had real expensive churches, beautiful church buildings. Oh, I forgot. They didn't even have a church building. I know what it was. They had great choirs and worship. Oh, what? I forgot. They didn't have one. Must have been something. I know all the apostles, they drove Hondas. Accords, you know, they were all in one accord. No, wait a minute, that wasn't it. No, see, all those things we think are it. That's not it. They have their place, but that's not it. That's not it. It's not it we need, it's that. Remember what Peter said? This is that. It's not an it, it's a that. It's a him. It's a stirring. Father, thank you again for the people of God. I pray, oh God, that we all, myself especially included, have ears to hear the message tonight. And God, may it not leave us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you.